Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here, Getaway Friday, March the 15th, 2024. Joined in studio by Jessica Hauser and Matt Morgan. Glad to have them here. Don't forget Pastor Craig coming up next hour, 11:15 a.m. until 12 p.m. And then Matt and Pastor Craig and I will be on for Exchange Club, 12:15 to 1. And then Pastor Craig is on from 1:15 until 2. We'll study his word, and we'll be back tonight, 8:15 until 10 p.m., discussing all kinds of interesting things. Well, we have some interesting things to discuss this particular hour because, well, let's just get into them because there are three interesting subjects. Singer Olivia Rodrigo handed out the morning after pill at one of her concerts. Now, the reason she did this is because there is a law in Texas right now, which I believe has passed. I'm sure there will be challenges against it. But the law in Texas says that if you are a minor, you have to get your parents' permission to get birth control. Now, the federal law has always said since 1974, I believe, that you do not have to let your parents know if you want birth control, even if you are a minor. But Texas has decided that in Texas, it's not going to be that way. So, to get past that, if somebody hands it out for free and does not charge, well, and you went to the concert, you don't have to tell anybody. So that's what Olivia Rodrigo did. So should she have done this? That's the question. Let's go to the woman on the panel.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Because really, we can have discussion on this, but we really, I mean, highly unlikely that Matt and I are going to be taking the morning after pill for anything.
Yeah. Well, as a young girl, I think that's sometimes a pretty uncomfortable conversation to have with your parents. So
I think that's why the rule was put in place.
But still, at the same time, I was kind of outraged when I heard that. I don't agree with her doing that. I think it's really not a good idea, not her place to do that.
But you don't have to use it.
No, you don't.
So I don't know. I mean, see, that's my thing on most anything. Now, you can, things can be available. You can give people things, but it's your choice to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it all come down to self-containment on drugs? There are drugs. If you want illegal drugs, you can probably get them. You don't have to take them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not against the morning after pill or contraception, but, I don't think that is an appropriate place to do that.
Most people do not fight contraception anymore, I don't think. Most people. I mean, most people are fine with all the measures to not get pregnant. This people see as, one step removed from an abortion, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea is, oops, I could be pregnant. Let me just take this to make sure I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But isn't that on the people as well? You were the one who chose to do what you did.
I don't even view it that way. Like, again, I'm not against it. I just don't think she should have done it.
On what grounds?
It's just not an appropriate place to do that. And how is she even able to? Like, how is that legal? Like, she's not a doctor.
No, but you can buy those at the grocery store.
Yeah,
that's not a prescription.
Really?
Oh, we sell it. Yeah.
Yep.
I did
yep.
not know that was on the shelf.
Oh, yeah. Go down the aisle sometime. It's
yep.
there.
Wow.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, that morning after pill, do you have to have a prescription
nope.
for that?
No, you do not. You can buy that in the grocery store. Now, you will be carded if you buy it, but that's about it.
I did not know that.
You're not allowed to buy it unless you're 18?
It's called Plan B. Yeah. No, you have to be 18, I think. But, it's sold in the grocery store. Matt and I can speak from first-hand knowledge. You could go right now in Marion and buy that.
I'm looking it up here on my Kroger app
right now. You doubt us?
Well, okay, here actually, so,
we have a story about this.
So a while back there was this woman who was a super Christian who worked at the grocery store.
I don't think we should call her super Christian. She was a cashier. She had beliefs.
But I mean, super Christian. But anyways,
yeah, just skip on over what I said there. Just keep on going.
Well, yes, we had a cashier. And somebody had come through her line with a Plan B pill, and she made a whole big scene and refused to sell the pill to her and things like that. So she had to just like get off the register and have somebody else do the order.
Well, once she refused, somebody had to step in. I mean, I was there that morning. I mean, that's just what happened.
Wow. Did she keep her job after that?
Yep. Yep.
Did she get fired?
Nope. There's a union there.
Oh.
That seems a little crazy. I don't know.
You know what? I was okay. People made such a big deal of her doing that. You know what? You're never there alone as a cashier. There's always somebody else who knows how to run the register. And you know what? If it's that big a deal to you, I think she should not make a scene. I think that's where she went wrong. But I think if she should have just stepped back and said, oh, you know, hold on a second, I've got to go to the restroom. Can you jump on here? Nobody would have ever known that's what it was about. Nobody would have ever... People do that all the time.
Right. I mean, how does she know next time she does that to somebody? They're not a nut and they don't pull a gun out and shoot her.
Well,
I mean, sometimes you have to act a certain way if you're in a neighborhood around people, you know, that you might not act normal, you know.
Well, what do you think? Should Olivia Rodrigo been allowed to pass this out at her concert, now knowing that there is no prescription needed?
I don't think she should have been allowed. I mean, I don't really think you're allowed to pass aspirins out like that. You know, just to whoever comes up and you hand them out, you know.
You know, I don't know what they do now, but when they taught sexual education in school, there were things in bags for people. So I don't know really what the difference is.
When I went through sex ed, there was nothing.
Well, maybe changed.
And sex ed was like a one class period.
Oh gosh, I think I was like, well, there are things like 6 weeks or something.
Yeah, right. Well, there are things in bathrooms. I mean, or there were for a long time.
There was.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is the school allowed to give aspirins?
I think the nurses. Well, you know what? I think the office can give them now. You know, honestly, I don't take my word for that because I haven't tried to get an aspirin in school for a long time. But I think if you have a headache and you go to the office and the nurse isn't there, I think they'll give you a Tylenol. Because now they have records of what you're allergic to and all that, and they can pull it up.
Yeah, and they recommend Tylenol more than they do aspirin.
Yeah, they'd probably give you a Tylenol.
Okay, well, I'll keep listening.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. And again, phone lines are always open, 740-383-9944. I'm not going to spend much time on this. I guess the question is just, should she have done it?
I don't think so.
But now knowing that it's legal and you can buy it in a grocery store just like a jug of milk.
But there's an age. You have to show your ID.
There is an age. But if she had passed out lighters, which also have an age restriction on them, would that have been a problem?
No.
So this is a problem because?
It's not, to me, it's not a problem because of like a pro-choice or pro, you know what I'm saying? I don't view it that way. I just feel like, yeah, I just don't feel like you should pass out pills.
You know what I always, but you know what I always wonder about this particular type of thing, without giving any feeling on pro-choice or pro-life, I'm sure there was somebody at this Olivia Rodrigo concert who was pro-life. There's no doubt in my mind. Who's never going to use this pill. So, leave it there. Don't take it. Give it to somebody. Mm-hmm. Throw it in the garbage can on the way out. Why does giving somebody something mean anything? I guess I don't get that. You know, if you have heart disease and I give you a big, old, fatty steak, it's your choice to eat it. I just don't. I mean, don't we have any self-containment in life?
She's definitely proving a point by doing it, but I don't know.
I guess the other question is, before we move on from this one, is should you need your parents' permission to get contraception?
Oh, yes.
Really?
I think it's an uncomfortable conversation. It stinks that...
You
know, girl's going to have to go to a parent or whoever is in charge. You know, it's an uncomfortable conversation to have. It's an uncomfortable conversation to have with your doctor.
Yeah, but the problem with the parent is, other than the doctor, if you go to the parent and say that, immediately you're doing things.
Right. Yes. Yes. But there are contraceptions and stuff that, you know, doctors just prescribe them and out of just really being able just to sell those for the drug company or whatever. But a lot of issues and health issues and concerns and things can happen from taking some of these. So like I would want control over it, not because they're doing things, you know, I just overlook that, but I don't want, you know, all of a sudden, you know, there to be like ovary problems or have to have ovary removed or, you know, or now we're not practicing safe things.
But see, I think that's, you know, the fear though.
And so it's like a conversation that it's uncomfortable, but you know, I would want, and I don't have a little girl, but I would definitely want to research and understand the medication that she's putting into her body.
But I think the fear is,
as an adult,
what you just said though, that they're going to do it anyway, and now that they have to get your permission, if they don't feel comfortable coming to you with that, they're going to do it.
Then we're going to have a lot of young parents.
You're going to have a lot of young parents, or you're going to have a lot of the diseases that you just described that you don't want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I would prefer, you know, I think it's unfortunate that you just have to have that uncomfortable conversation with a parent, but, you know.
So, Matt, should she have done this?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I think that she's not necessarily wrong. I think that there's probably is a better place than her concert to do so. I mean, I think the issue is that she did it more of like out of an act of defiance than anything else. Like she straight up said, "Oh, you have to have permission now. Watch this."
Well, I don't know that she did that. I don't know that that's what she did. I think it was in objection to that, but I don't know that she made a big deal about it. I didn't see that part of it.
I don't either. But then you could look at it as like, what type did she hand out? You know,
is this? I think it was Plan B. I think it was the morning after.
And it's like, okay, that worked. But now what happens if we just start, you know, we don't have contraception or whatever, and we just start using that like every week? Like, that's super, it's like really not healthy to do that.
You know what I've learned though, and this is going to sound particularly strange, and it would have sounded more particularly strange 20 years ago, but I was having a conversation with a coworker not too long ago, and it was a female coworker, and I don't know how we got there, but I now know what type of contraception she uses. Now, people are more open with that now than I think they used to be. That would have never been a conversation that I would have had 20 years ago, not because of being in my 20s. It would have just been, I would have never had that conversation with anybody. I think people are just more open now.
Well, it really messes with hormones, too. I mean, that's what it is. Like, you know, it's like a hormone. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. Somebody could become suicidal after taking one of those things. Or if you're taking them so much, I mean, you might be 16 years old and taking this every other week or something. And then all of a sudden, you know, you actually want to try to have kids when you're in your 30s or whatnot, and you can't because you did that to yourself.
There are a lot of problems here.
For sure.
A lot of discussions to have with your doctor.
And I think a discussion that you should have with an adult who can see what it was like to be 30, you know, like a 16-year-old and a 30-year-old have different experiences.
So, but isn't that, do they really, though? I don't
absolutely
know. In regard to which part of this?
Well, I mean, you know, like, for example, in this situation, you know, a 16-year-old could think a lot differently about contraception and the morning after pill or Plan B than, you know, somebody who maybe, like, did already misuse it and couldn't have kids, like, later, like, you know, that story is a little bit more of a, like, a short foresight for a 16-year-old, where I would say the foresight and the repercussions of it, you know, somebody with a little bit more experience might be able to offer up an opinion that's a little bit more, you know, solid there, long term.
It could be. I mean, I know of somebody right now who has said, well, they didn't say flat out that I could not go to my parent and have this conversation, but it certainly is implied.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a person, this is not a teenager. This is somebody who's over the age of 18 who could go buy it if they wanted to. This is just, I could not have that conversation with my parent ever. So, there you go.
And it can, I mean, it can be a similar thing with ibuprofen. That really messes with your stomach. Like, I know that, like people that have misused ibuprofen when they were younger, like, can't even take it anymore. And they ruin the lining of their stomach. Like, you wouldn't know that when you're a kid.
I am not allowed to take ibuprofen.
Not allowed, like, God doesn't allow you to take ibuprofen?
No, not allowed.
That's,
where
that's
your mom.
What a lot of this has to be, do with here.
Not allowed as in, I'm on blood thinners, and for some reason the doctor doctor said no ibuprofen on blood thinners, so it has to be Tylenol.
Well, because ibuprofen, there are inflammation issues with ibuprofen, and that mix blood thinners and that don't go very well. But on that note, let's move on to the next topic because we've got two more to get in, and we've only got 15 minutes because Jess has to leave here early.
Sorry.
No, I like this topic. This topic I find fascinating. Actress Lily Allen has said, she said in a podcast, that having children ruined her acting career. Having children ruined her career.
Man.
Now, she didn't, it did, I heard it. I listened to the line. It didn't come off that snarky. But that is what she said. But she said, I had to make the decision, should I continue my career or should I be home with my child? You cannot do both. You cannot have it all, because now people will tell you you can. And boy, I hate to say it, but I agree with her. You can pretend like you have it all because you don't want your kids to think you're a bad mother. Mothers take the brunt of this more than fathers do. You don't hear a lot of fathers sitting around saying, well, did my kids think I was a bad father? Some do, not as many as mothers, but how do you have it? It's impossible. If you have a career like that that's demanding, where you've got to be on shoots and you've got to be gone for long periods of time and you've got to be on the set at 4 o'clock in the morning and you have to take calls here and there, how are you going to be at every baseball game and softball game? It's impossible.
I think you just hire somebody to do so.
I'd be
right, which again is they run to the nanny. That's the famous Hollywood story.
Yep.
So can you have it all, or is she right? Her choice to stay home with her kid ruined her career.
There's probably a lot to be said about that.
I think it did.
Yeah. You can't do both.
No, I don't think you can.
But if you hire a good nanny, you can.
But again,
but then you're not doing both. You hired a nanny.
You're not doing both. You hired a nanny.
Yeah, can't do both.
you can't be everywhere.
Can't do it.
No. And
it's hard.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it, and I think mothers face a lot of guilt in that area as they get older. Now, I don't know why it tends to be more women than men. Maybe men just don't talk about it. But certainly I have known a lot of mothers who were tremendously guilt-ridden later in life.
I think it can go both ways. You really are starting to see a lot more men take on the home front and women kind of being out there working more. You do see a lot more of that. And really, men are great parents.
Absolutely.
I always thought, you know, they were more of like a disciplinarian and you know, the provider of the homes and stuff, but things have really shifted. And
oh, absolutely.
You know, men taking care of their children and reading to them or getting them involved with their athletics and being super involved, like with coaching or music or whatever, you know, men are very nurturing. And you see that a lot.
Absolutely. I think it's fine. I
think they could have regrets. Even bigger regret if the mom couldn't spend time at home, you know, kind of in their place. It probably puts them at ease if they're, you know, is one parent kind of working like, you know, a ton, but then the other is, you know. But I think it would come with regrets.
Well, see, but that's the thing. People say they don't have regrets. This is why I don't believe that. Because I think even if you don't have kids, at some point you've got to regret something. Who has a perfect life? But I think people have very difficult times, have a very difficult time admitting a regret, because in a way that's seen as I did something wrong.
It's called a second and third child.
Well, there you go.
That's how you fix your regrets.
Well, I have another one to fix.
Double
it.
Down.
Second
yeah, but
chance.
I assume you would think the more kids you have, the better you get at it.
Yeah, I look at my son, and I mean that's it for me. I'm done. You know, so I have one, and so every learning experience.
One and done.
Yeah, every learning experience and stuff we go through and have. You know, I'm like, man, I would nail this with the second one. But, you know, nope, that's over and done with. I guess we learned, but, you know, can't apply it anywhere else.
Well, if you are a mother or a father who is not there all the time because you have a very demanding career, and that child in their teens starts to get involved with something like drugs or gangs or something like that, I'm sure at some point you're going to sit there and say, if I'd been home more, would this have been a problem?
Or happened a lot sooner.
Yeah, right. Well, I just think so many people I've heard say that. And I've heard people whose kids turned out fine who say, you know, I wasn't there a whole lot. I should have been there more.
Mm-hmm.
They look back at that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's just the way life is. But yes, I when she says it ruined her career, why would I be judgmental?
Yeah, because she wanted to be a mom.
Yeah, because she wanted to be a mom.
Yeah,
she made the choice. But it's tough.
I mean, I think it would be. You just gave up something that you've been spending your life working on in exchange for a child. But I mean, I think that I can't blame her. I think that's a fair choice to make. But I mean, I think at the end of the day, yeah, like you can't have your cake and eat it too. I think she had to make a choice.
You know, I know somebody. See, but good people don't always have the best kids. I know somebody who's if you met them, you would think they were one of the nicest people in the world. But their kids, I'm not saying they didn't turn out okay, because who am I to judge how somebody's kids turn out, but...
Are they mischievous?
Rocky roads in life. There are some rocky roads there. Matter of fact, there are some stories that I know of that I don't even think the whole family's aware of, because I just happened to be there at points when something was going on. And I'm going to tell them right now on this radio program. No. But, wouldn't that have been fun, though, if I just let it all go there? No, but I know those stories about things they did, and is that a reflection on the parent? I don't know.
Okay, parenting's not easy.
No, I don't think it is.
Well, to some people, it's very easy. I think so.
I mean, I think parenting's just kind of, obviously I've never been a parent, but I think parenting's kind of one of those things that...
Tell us how to parent, Matt. Give us all the ideas on how you parent.
I think... I forget what I was saying.
I bet you did on that one.
parenting.
You're going to tell us how to... Parenton? Parent.
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 Parenting.
Parenting.
There we go.
There we go.
I think you kind of gotta. I think everybody who's a parent thinks they're doing their best. I think that they think that they're trying.
Not me. I don't. I don't think I'm doing my best. Some situations I'm like, you are not doing well at this at all.
But that's different. That's different than purposely doing bad.
There's a difference between not doing well and doing your best. You could be doing your best and not doing well.
Right. As long as you're trying your hardest, everything turns out great.
I'll look and at you some know that. Situations you and be like, no, that. I'm not giving this my best. I'm sorry.
Really? Really?
Go, don't take a bath for a week. Fine. It's not my best.
But your best would be to force, right?
I mean, you do try to. You do. No, I don't try my best all the time.
Now, what do you chalk? That's very honest. Now, what do you chalk that up to?
What, not being my best?
To say I'm just not, this is not, I could try harder, I could do better.
Yep, I could try harder,
But why? What we're getting at here, why?
Could be a lot of different things.
The example you gave was
he might have an attitude, and I just don't want to listen to it. Just go to your room.
Well, that's not unheard of with kids, though. I mean, I don't know, that's not necessarily you trying your best. I think that's just a conflict. Conflict is in life, I think. Isn't it?
I'm sorry, I did not try my best. I know you wanted to wear that shirt today.
Yeah. But you let him.
Wear it dirty?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Okay, so you let it go.
Sure.
Yeah, but in your mind, you're thinking,
not my best.
Shouldn't have.
Should have washed it.
Should have washed.
Should have washed. Should have washed it.
Should have washed it at midnight. But you said, no, I need to sleep.
Nope, not my best.
Got to sleep. Okay. Now, do you think you'll have regrets later on in life when it comes to this?
Absolutely not.
Well, there you go.
Well, I mean, see, because like a lot of the things that it says that you're that it seems that you're quote unquote like not trying on are just a whole lot of the minor things. Yeah,
that's just life.
I think that a whole lot of people don't really try on because you just like those things are like kids just tend to be argumentative towards those things. So like you just kind of have someone like, you know, is it even worth it?
Yeah, like I mean. If he tries to cross the street and a car is coming down, I'll try my best.
Yeah.
I will die for him.
Yeah. See, that's a whole different conversation. These little things, I mean, I think everybody does that. You know, oh, you didn't want to eat dinner tonight. I'm going to fight with you for a minute, but eventually I'm going to give you the peanut butter and jelly. Let's just move past this. This is taking too much time.
Yeah, I'm more go to bed hungry if you don't like what I made, but...
Oh, so that's the deal breaker.
No. Oh, yeah. No. My mom used to do that to us. She would make food, and if we didn't eat it, it would just... You gotta understand.
You're
on your own.
Yep.
Yeah, but you know, I've never really understood that to a certain degree. Why? Because children, whether you like it, are human beings. Why? You would never say that to an adult.
Well, because adults got their own money, and I mean, I would say that. As a matter of fact,
is that the reason?
I have made food.
If I have you over to my house and you didn't pay for the food, then I can mandatorily make you sit there and eat it until you're done?
I mean... No, but I could always just leave and go buy myself some food.
No,
a kid can't leave nor buy themselves food, so...
Well, some kids have jobs.
I mean, yeah, but like...
But if grandma gave them $10 for Christmas, they can go out over to McDonald's and get what they want.
They're going to get in that car that they own and drive over to
McDonald's.
People live
next door to McDonald's. McDonald's is on Main Street here in town.
I don't know that I'd trust a... See, but that's the thing.
It's just a power structure.
Now you're trusting like a 13-year-old kid to walk over to a McDonald's.
Well, why are we having a fight over dinner? Some people don't like certain foods. You could have put gravy in front of me at 5, 10, 15, and now, and I still wouldn't want to eat it. I don't want it.
You eventually get into a groove. Like, you know what they like and what they don't like, and you eventually just kind of start cooking accordingly.
And if you're full, you're full. I mean, it's not like the child hasn't eaten in days.
Well, also, it's not like my mom would just be like, you're eating this or you're eating nothing. It'd just be like, you're eating this or I'm not making you anything else. You can find something, but it's not going
to
be me.
We got 4 minutes before Jess has to leave here, so we need to get this in. Because I like this story. I love this. We've done it on the Friday night program. I just think it's a great story because the Academy Awards happened this past week. Sally Field, actress, was nominated for the movie Norma Rae back in, I think it was 70s. And she was... maybe 80s, dating Burt Reynolds at the time, who was also a very popular actor. They met on the scene of Smokey and the Bandit. And when she got nominated, Burt refused to go to the ceremony and actually said to her, you really think you're going to win? Well, she did win, and then she dumped him. And that was the end of that. So, should you ever say anything like that to your partner? I mean, was it bad that these were two actors and they were competitive, which I'm guessing is what this was? Should you be around a person opposite of you in a way, not in the same profession? They met on the movie set.
Did she dump him because of that?
Well, she dumped him. I'm guessing this didn't help. I'm sure her coming home with the Oscar that night didn't make him feel all that great either.
He
he never did win one, so there you go.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Oh.
And he's went on to his reward now. She's still around.
I do like Sally Field.
But that's, she won.
Mm-hmm.
That had to come off. I mean, if she hadn't won, it might have continued because she could have, and he would have said, I'm sorry that I had to say it in such harsh terms, but, you know, it's just the way Hollywood is. But when she came home with the statue, I mean, he had to look pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. I probably would have dumped him, too.
Really? So don't say that.
No, don't say that.
Even if you believe it. See, this is one of those moments, brain to mouth.
Right.
Stop. Even if you think it, don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I think that maybe he was a little bit jealous because he wasn't invited.
But he did get nominations during that time period. I think for Deliverance, I think he was nominated. Maybe.
Also,
maybe. I know he got nominated at some point.
I mean, I wouldn't think that it's the best thing to say, like, oh, you really think you're gonna win, to even like a random person, but to say it to, like, were they married at this time or just
no?
Like,
just did. They never did marry.
Okay. So I mean, I don't know, especially to somebody you're in a relationship with, I just.
You're supposed to be supportive.
Yeah, see, it seems a bit irrational to me.
Supportive, and, you know.
That's the number one trait. I always say if you're going to be in a relationship, you've got to be supportive. And not that phony baloney supportive, where you're just passing out money and buying dinners and all that garbage. I mean, you've really got to support what that person wants to do. And if they're always doing what you want to do, there's a problem. Because they're probably not really happy with that.
And just being, like, emotionally supportive and just saying something nice, like that doesn't take a whole lot of effort either. You know,
I don't think you should compliment somebody's looks all the time either. I think there's something very strange about that. I think when you're always saying you look good today, you look good today, you look good today, you look good today, I think it means less. Because at some point, they don't look as good as they
do. It doesn't mean less.
Really?
It doesn't mean less.
So if somebody didn't say it for 6 months, and then one day you came in and they said, wow, you look really good today.
If I didn't get complimented in 6 months, yeah, that 6 month
so you gotta
opportunity
get the compliment.
Wouldn't even
but what
exist.
If it's not true? What if it's not true, though?
You could find something positive
so you just got,
to say.
Right, but I mean, hey, you know what? You're
but
a great...
Physically, you're talking
you're,
about physically.
You're a great TikTok video maker.
Thank you.
You're, there you go. There
now
you
I'm
going
to walk out of here with my head held
with
high.
Your head held high.
You gave me
but,
a compliment.
Right, but see, that's not on your looks, so does it have to be...
I got you. So we're defining.
Yeah. I mean, I can find something nice to say about everybody every day, but when it's looks, that's very superficial. And I think it becomes... If it's the same thing every day, I think it becomes less important.
This is why you talk on the radio.
Yes,
because it doesn't matter what you look
it
like.
It doesn't matter what I look like. I can look like I just.
I thought about that coming in here. I'm like, oh man, I'm not having a good hair day. Oh, it's great. It's just radio. Nobody'll see me.
You know what though? When I did television for a little while, and we still do the television thing on Wednesday night, it's I don't think about it. I don't care. I mean, honestly, who cares? I mean, at this point. I mean, what do I care what people are thinking?
Right.
I mean, do you really think about this? Have you not evolved to a point where you're like, eh, whatever?
Nope, I haven't yet.
Really?
Yep.
It's still very, very important.
Yes.
Because?
I don't know if there's a because. Maybe it's just because of how I'm raised or whatnot, but I'm not one to go into the grocery store in my pajamas.
No, I understand
that. I had a hard
time
sending my kid to school in his pajamas today.
Yeah, but how can you... change how you look?
Are you talking about being unkempt? Lots of ways you can change how you look.
But are you talking about being unkempt? Or are you talking about the way you look?
Right.
Okay. Are you talking about bone structure? Or are you talking about hair color?
As I leave to get my hair appointment.
Yeah, there you go. As you leave for the hair appointment. So which are we talking about, like, you got to break bones to fix the problem? Or you can just put some dye on your hair? What are we talking about here?
What, with my hair appointment?
Yeah. I mean, what kind of looks are we talking about? Like, dress nice, or are we talking about plastic surgery?
I think you're talking about physical.
Which you
can change physically.
A lot of work.
A lot of things.
A lot of work.
You can change. Actually, you change everything physically now.
But is
pretty
that good?
Don't you want to see the real person?
Can't
grow a new arm, I guess, but, I mean, they're getting close.
I think you want to see the real person, don't you, at some point?
Yes.
There you go.
And tell them they look good.
And tell them they look good, apparently.
Every day.
Every day of your life until you're both dead.
Are you single? This might be a result.
I just don't have that kind of time to be telling somebody they look nice every
goodness.
Day.
You talk for a living.
Yeah, but I don't have to do that. I don't have to tell them they're nice every day.
All right. See you next
week. See you next week.
Well, you know, Scott, what would happen if for 6 months straight, you were like, oh, you look really nice today, and then just one day, nothing.
Yeah, there you go. There's a whole nother problem. Then you get in a fight about that. Because then it all falls
off.
Do I
not look good today?
Do I not look good today? Because you've told me every other day in my life that I look good. Now, do I not look good today? Pastor, come on and join us. Pastor Craig has joined us here. He'll be on next hour, 11:15 to 12 and 1:15 to 2 today. Well, you've heard the litany of topics, some of which we might discuss during the noon show because there's not a whole lot going on. We've got an election coming up on Tuesday. We might talk a little bit about that and all the races involved there. But what do you make of any of these? Anything strike you?
It's a hard act to follow.
It's very interesting, isn't it? Interesting show.
I'm kind of with you, though, and I think maybe this is more a male thing than a female thing, but I could really care less what people think about, you know, I don't care.
No, why would I think your personality means something.
It means a lot.
I think how you treat somebody else is very important.
It means a lot.
But how you look... This is what we really care about?
Right.
I don't understand that.
Right.
What do you think, Matt?
I think that's fair to say. I mean, I think that you should probably care more about the personality, because if you can't spend time with the person, doesn't matter how good they look, because if you hate being around them, then you're not going to want to be around them.
Right, but isn't the first meeting an indication usually how they look? I mean, isn't that usually the first thing you know about them?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you see them first.
That's why I believe it's, if you know somebody before you start dating them, is what we're really talking about here. If you know somebody before that and have known them a while, then really looks isn't the thing, because you've always known how they look. So you really know their personality. You've come to know it.
Yeah.
So that's what you're really jumping in on. Now, they might look fine, but that wasn't your initial draw. You always have to wonder with somebody who you really don't know, what was it all about? Why did the thing start rolling?
And I agree with you, Scott. You know, if you tell, you know, if you're in a relationship and you tell her every day that she looks nice, after a while it's phony, meaningless, right?
It's absolutely phony, and I don't know why we would continue to do this.
Right. I think it's appropriate, and I think it's going to come off as genuine, and it probably is genuine if, you know, like you're going to a special function maybe on Friday night, and so she dresses up. Well, then it's appropriate, because it's probably more genuine, to say, you look really nice tonight, you know. But to say it every day, it loses its meaning.
Why every day? What do you think, Matt?
I honestly don't know why you would say it every day. I think that you'll end up falling into like a trap where like you say it every day and then you forget one day, and then all of a sudden there's this whole 15-minute long argument and you're like, what happened?
Yeah, or you go 6 months without saying it and then she dumps you.
Yeah. It's very, very strange to me, though, on the whole, that this is what... I mean, I see people now who are in relationships that are not married, and it's always funny to me because, again, how would I know anything about your relationship except what you're telling me on social media or what you're telling me in person? And you know what? I don't believe half of that, because it seems phony that you would be posting that stuff. Why do you have to tell me that the person is so good? You know, I think that's just craziness.
I mean, I think anytime that there's a Facebook post or something like that where they're just like, I just got to, like, you know, make a post to talk about how wonderful my significant other is. I think that things are a little rocky right now.
I mean, clearly I'm not going to use a name here, and I'm going to be as vague as possible in this, that nobody could ever pinpoint exactly what this is, except maybe the person who said it. But I thought a very interesting moment for me this week was I ran into somebody who's in a relationship, and they said that, I don't want to do this event. I don't want to go to this event, but I know that if I don't, there'll be conflict with that person. And I thought they were very honest to say that, and I appreciated the honesty. But that's what it is. Now, you're not going to see that post on Facebook. No. Didn't really want to go to the event, but went anyway.
That's right.
Well, I think for that instance, I think you should just not go to the event.
No, because you don't realize the resentment that will cause.
I mean, but now you've done set a precedent that you're just like, yeah, I guess I'll go with you.
And
but,
that's a relationship. Bingo.
Bad precedent.
No, that's how they are. You think you want to go to every event with everybody all the time?
I don't even want to hang out with the girl that I would consider my significant other all the time.
Well, that's a whole other problem.
This comes back to that being supportive of the other person. There are going to be times that you're not going to want to go to an event that they want to go to. But, you know, part of being supportive of them is doing it. What you don't want to do is get in a situation like where you were saying, where all you ever do is do everything that that person wants to do. But in a healthy relationship, there's going to be times when you're going to want to do something and they're not, and they're going to want to do something and you're not, and you kind of get a healthy balance in there.
And this is not to say that you shouldn't go to things that maybe you don't want to go to, but if you are really just been put through the ringer and you just don't want to go, they should be able to understand that. If everybody's going to everything, they aren't always happy, and eventually you'll find that out.
I'm just confused as to why, like, there seems to be this idea that, like, when you get into a relationship, you gotta, there's no two separate people anymore. Now you're one being.
Right.
We're still two separate people.
You can go
do your thing. I can go do my thing.
Yeah.
And we can meet back somewhere.
I don't think anybody's saying that can't happen, but if the person wants you to go and you don't want to go, that's the fraction.
You see, but that's the thing.
That's the fracture.
They always want you to go.
Nah, I don't know about always. I can't say that. I mean, I've went to events that I just thought somebody wouldn't be interested in, and I know they weren't interested, so I didn't even ask. But if I wanted them to go, it really wouldn't apply to me, because honestly, if they said no, I really wouldn't care. I'm not just saying, I'm not better than anybody else, I just really wouldn't care. But some people, this is my girlfriend, this is my boyfriend, this is my wife, this is my husband, and you need to come.
Awful.
Well, that's life. That's the way it goes. There was something else I wanted to say here, and I cannot remember what it was now. Gosh, that is horrible, because it was something I thought that was poignant. Hope it comes back in my brain here. I should have written it down. But such is life, I guess. I mean, you're just going to have to lump it and go.
It just sounds awful.
Is it? Oh, I know what came back in. Thank goodness, just before the bell. 4 minutes left to go. Can you make harsh comments to somebody without them taking it personally?
I mean, I'm depending on who, I guess.
Okay, I made a it's supposed to be like a coffee klatch here, so I'm going to tell, it's a true story. Again, keep the names hidden to keep the people privatized. But yesterday, I had not been mean at all day. I had not been mean to this person, and I was not trying to be mean to this person, but on the way out the door, when I was about to part with this person, I said, you know, I think in a past life I did something wrong. And they said, why? And I said, well, because I'm stuck with you. And now I thought that, see, it's a funny joke, isn't it? It's a funny joke. Both people laughed here. This person did not laugh. Now that they know it's a joke, now they might come back and say, oh, I knew you were kidding, blah, 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 blah. But at that time they said, that's a pretty awful thing to say to me. That you're saying that I am your cosmic punishment?
I mean,
can you not have moments like that in life where you say something?
Me and my friends just bully each other all the time. We like to just hate on each other. I don't know. It's just fun. So like me and my friends just kind of do that. So for me and my friends, no. But I mean, I could see how. I could understand how I guess people would get upset. I mean, I think
if I had not been mean to him at all, and that just comes out of nowhere.
I mean, I think a lot of people just have a hard time understanding the difference between the joke and the serious comment.
It was obvious that was a joke.
That's what I thought.
And,
you know,
and I don't know. I honestly don't know who this person was, so I don't know how long they've known you or how well they know you. But if they've been around you for really not very long, they should have realized that it was just a joke.
And like I said, had we been arguing or something, I could see maybe where you would take that seriously.
Right.
But there had literally been nothing yesterday that would have prompted that.
Yeah.
So to come out of left field just before we're about to leave each other, that's what you think is my real... I just said, in this moment, I'm going to tell you that you're cosmic punishment, and I really mean that. I mean, it doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't. It
makes zero sense. Yeah. I was just trying to have a light moment as we parted ways. You know, I'm thinking now, I wonder how I look on radio. I wonder how things are coming across here. Looking okay this morning, Matt?
Well, you know, I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, thank God for that. Well,
I guess it's a tie vote because I don't think you're... No.
You don't think I look good? Oh, are you seriously telling me I don't look very good? Because now we're going to have words during the break, apparently. I don't know. I just think you should be allowed to say stuff like that to people and not have to apologize for it or not have to say, hey, it's a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it was pretty self-explanatory that it was a joke.
You'd think.
Yeah.
No. So the reaction came.
You know, Scott, I don't want you to think that I was being harsh.
Yeah, you got to apologize.
Because I don't want to sit here in silence during that
break.
Yeah,
it could be one of those.
Yeah, 15-minute break silence.
I thought it was a good joke. I thought it had a good punchline.
I think it was so good. I'm gonna steal it.
Do it. Use it. It's a great joke because they really don't know why you're saying it. You know, I think I must have done something bad in a past life. They have no idea what you're talking about, so they're gonna ask, "What do you mean?" Because I'm stuck with you.
Well, I think on the break you should share with me who that person was.
I shall.
If I ever have the chance to be in that person's company, I'll use it.
Use that line on them too. Then they'll think they really did something. They really are a horrible person. Pastor Craig coming up next hour, and we'll all be back together at noon discussing a lot of stuff going on. Don't go anywhere.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret, and I thought that was too much. Margaret Bradley. There's no rhythm to it. Of course, it doesn't. I think in the end it doesn't matter, but it's just whatever you think. So I thought Marla, I wanted the M, so Marla Gibbs had a better rhythm to me.